the subject, the whole Indian, just to touch upon the internal reason as to why is it that the Baruch Shalom Bechlal wants us to have children. That's what we were talking about last week. What's the tachlis of having children? And we spoke about the Indian of having children, being marbek v'od shamayim, more opportunities, nachashtik yid, more presence of the Baruch Shalom in this world. We were talking about that b'derech hakdama, by way of introduction last week. And we began to learn this kuntres, this small little sefer that was taken from a few shiurim that were given by an Adam Gardel in Yerushalayim, Rav Zilberberg, which I thought would be an excellent way for us to get into the inyan of his chazkus and chinuch. I'm not talking about methodology and teaching. I think that we just need a lot of chizik in terms of raising children and grandchildren, and to be able to look at things in the proper perspective. And this is a wonderful and very, as you will see, an extremely refreshing perspective on the whole subject. So we began to learn the kuntres inside. If you don't have that, there are photostatic sheets if you could share. My intention was that there should be something that should be able to be reviewed and to be learned inside, as opposed to just giving shiurim. We're on page Gimel. On page Gimel, the right-hand side on the bottom. Yaduah mechazal hakadoshim v'tzadikim eschusim yagein aleinu. It is known from Chazal, shekol neshama shenechneses la'ilam hazeh, that every single neshama that comes into this world, yesh la ba'ifin klali shnei minei tafkidim, v'chol inyonei avedas Hashem yizbarach. He says that it's known from Chazal and from the Tzaddikim that every neshama that comes to this world has, ba'ofen klali, in general, two types of jobs. Shnei mini tafkidim b'chol inyoni avodas Hashem yisbarach in our avodas Hashem. Yesh es ha'avodah shel lilmod. There is the avodah of lilmod. That means that we were put here, we were brought into this world, that we should understand more and more and more and learn, acquire more understanding and grow in our own avodas Hashem. And there is also the second tafkid, the second job, a responsibility to teach others. Teaching others, as he explains, does not only mean in the capacity of being in the classroom, of being a teacher in a classroom. That's a minority of people are teachers in classrooms. And Hashem Yisbarach entered into a covenant, and we agreed, we made an agreement with Rabbeinu Shel Olam on that aspect that's called Lilmaid, to make ourselves into greater people, to learn more and more as we grow. And we also entered into a bris, into a covenant with Rabbeinu Shel Olam in this area of Lilamaid, that not only are we going to strive to grow ourselves, but we're going to make an effort to teach and to inspire others. Milvad, he says in parentheses, Yesh. Of course, on observing the mitzvahs, our own personal growth, which consists not only of learning, but of course of performing the mitzvahs and so on. Hainu, he explains, there is the primary work of a human being perfecting himself. To try to rise and to become greater and stronger, in doing Hashem's will. Every Jew, I spoke about this a little bit last, not this past Shabbos, but Parashat Shlach. Parashat Shlach is the parasha of Shlichus. Every single Jew was sent into this world, Bechlal, but often klali in general, to of course observe the entire Torah to the best of our abilities, but also, as the Tzaddik explains in Tzidkas HaTzaddik, and it's explained in all the Sfarim, that each and every one of us has a unique, specific shlichus for which we were sent into this world. Each one of us was sent as a shlich into this world. That means that you and I were given a specific task to accomplish with the children that Bez Hashem we have, with the specific conditions of how we were raised. Sometimes you wonder, it doesn't seem fair, why was that person raised in such a home, and why was I raised in this home, why is that person from that community? Why does the person have that husband? Why does the person have those type of friends? And I have X, Y, and Z. So everybody should know that that's what he's saying, that the first thing to remember is that area, in that area of Lilmoid, of you yourself and your personal growth, you were sent into this world with a specific shlichus, and you received the intellectual, the emotional, the physical capacity to fulfill the shlichus for which you were sent. And Chazal say that Ein Lecha Chaviv Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no one who is as precious in Hashem's eyes as the shlich who's moisa nefesh ha-shlichusa. You know, when you send someone to do a job, when you send someone to do a job, I remember very clearly my father being continuously disappointed when he would ask me to mow the lawn or to clean things up in my room. My parents were usually disappointed because there was a shlich that was not oisa shlichusai. It was a shlich that was not moisa nefesh to perform his shlichus properly. And my wife could share some stories like that with you about me as well. When a person does not perform his shlichus properly, then that's a disappointment in the eyes of Hashem. When you want to do what somebody else was sent to do, sometimes you're thinking, if only I could be like that person, that's Yenim's Maisa, that's person's Maisa, you would like to be involved in his shlichus, that's not your job. You have your conditions, you have your seichel, you have your heart, you have your parents, your brother, your sister, your family, your kinder, your children, so that you could do your shlichus in this world, and every single one of us is a shlich. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlom says that there's no one who I love more than a shlich who's Maisa Nefesh to carry out his shlichus. And that was the failure of the spies, of the Meraglim. The failure was that they were overwhelmed by the perspective, by the task. They were overwhelmed by the prospects of coming to Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't see that as being possible. They were happy in the Midbar when everything was clear, when they were surrounded by the cloud of Hashem. They wanted their shlichus to be under such circumstances, davka this way. And Yeshua and Kalev said, "Chofetz Hashem banu." That's not true, that if the Baruch Shalom wants and the Baruch Shalom helps us, we can carry out our shlichus. Oloi v'nala, let us go up to Yisrael, we can conquer the land. When a person is not happy with his shlichus and doesn't want to be a shliach, then everything in the world looks like the giants that were in Eretz Yisrael, right? The shlich and the meraglim couldn't carry out their task because they said it's impossible. Eretz Yisrael is inhabited by such giants. The land is a difficult land, it's impossible. When a shlich is not happy with his shlichus, like many of us become in life, unhappy with the shlichus, we would like to do what someone else is doing. If whatever a person feels, my family is not, this is not, my family is difficult, another family would be easier. My job, my career, if I could do something else, if I would be something else. And when you're in that state of mind, then no matter what it is, any day that you wake up, you feel, I can't possibly carry out my shlichus because there are giants, there are obstructions. Giants just means it's another way of saying there are obstacles that I can't overcome. But Yeshua and Kalev said, what are you talking about? If the Baruch Shalom wants us to do this, if the Baruch Shalom wants us to carry out our shlichus, then there's nothing that can get in our way. There's nothing that's able to stand in the way. So he's explaining here that each and every one of us was sent to perform a unique and special shlichus. Obviously it's important, and we'll talk about this much more later on, it's important for a Rebbe, it's important for a teacher, and it's very important for a parent to realize that each separate Jew has his or her own shlichus. Very often in schools and in families, we have this tendency to assume that everybody has the exact same shlichus. Just because in school everybody wears the same uniform doesn't mean that they were created for the same reason. We have one general shlichus, of course, to carry out Hashem's mitzvahs to the best of our ability, but each person has his or own unique and special shlichus. I mentioned in shul a few weeks ago, a ma'isa from the Beis HaLevi, that it once happened that it was Leil Yom Kippur, it was Yom Kippur night, and after davening, the Beis HaLevi was staying in shul a little bit, like many people stay, Leil Yom Kippur, and there was a certain man who was one of the wealthiest and cheapest, one of the biggest misers in the entire Brisk. So he stayed after davening Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur, after Ma'arif, he stayed in shul, and he was standing by the Om, and he was saying Tehillim, crying Tehillim. So the Beis HaLevi went over to him, and the Beis HaLevi asked him, tell me, what would you say if somebody, what would be the law, what would be the rule, if somebody would desert from the army, would leave the army? So what would you say, what would be the mishpat, what would you think would be the rightful judgment of such a person? So the rich man, this miser, answered, certainly, Rebbe, the judgment of such a person would be to be killed for deserting the army. And the Beis HaLevi says, and tell me, what happens if a person, let's say, was in the cavalry, and he deserted. He didn't want to be in the cavalry anymore. He wanted to be. He wanted to be with the foot soldiers. He wanted to go into a different division of the army. So he decided to leave his division. He went to a different division. He deserted his own division. What would you say would be the halacha? What would be the law if you would be the general? So he said, "What's the question? Echados lahamis. He has to be killed for such a thing." So Beis Halevi said, "You should know that you're that soldier that's deserted the army, and you're chayiv misa." So that's a very hard thing to hear on Yom Kippur night from the Beis Halevi, right? So he said, "What do you mean, Rabbi?" So the Beis Halevi said, "You know, why do you think the Baruch Shalom gave you so much money? You're a very, very wealthy person. He didn't give you the money that you should be standing here, Yom Kippur, that you should be saying the whole Sefer Tehillim. It's a very nice thing. The problem with you is that you want to say the whole Sefer Tehillim and you would like the poor people to give the money, yeah? But you were put into this world and the Baruch Shalom gave you a shlichus to support the poor people of the town of Brisk. In other words, that's your post. That's your position in God's army. In the Baruch Shalom's army was, you could say Tehillim, Gesundheit, say Tehillim all you like. But the problem is you've deserted your division. You were placed in the division of those Jews who are supposed to support the poor, take care of the institutions of Torah and Brisk and the Aniyim. And instead, what you decided you wanted to be a Tehillim Zogger. Instead, you're going to stand up and say Tehillim. So what would happen if the poor people, now everything's reversed. The poor people have to support the town. And the rich people are saying Tehillim. So obviously, for a person of that greatness, the Beis Halevi, it used to be, like the Vilna Gaon says in Mishlei, that each and every one of us would go to the Navi, and the Navi would tell you what your neshama, where your neshama came from, who you were, what's the root of your neshama, and he would tell you, this is what you have to do in this world. This is the point that you must perfect in this world. So when they were in the Neviim, it was, in that respect, it was easier, you were told. Now, it's hard for us to know. There's a general rule that's found in the Svarim HaKadoshim. It's also found in Tzidkas HaTzadik from Reb Tzadik HaKohen, where the Kohen writes that if you want to have an idea where your shlichus, where your specific job, usually what your job consists of, it's usually in that area that you find that you struggle the most. And that which you have the greatest difficulties in life, it's a simon that in that you could become truly great. And he brings many rayas for that concept, for that idea. So that's what he's talking about here in that first area of life, that domain that's called Lilmaid. I have to try to become the best I could become, and I have to try to fulfill that unique shlichus. Hashem should help me know what's my shlichus, but I have to believe that He gave me the ability, He gave me the koyches and nefesh, He gave me what I need in order to carry out that unique shlichus, and each and every one of us has a separate shlichus, just like in the Midbar, the camp was divided under different flags, into different divisions, and so on. So he continues, we're on page Gimel, the left-hand column. Ulamalos is Ashlichas Amichedas Avur, Betoyer, Tvila, and Davening, Tahara, purifying yourself, Amunah, belief, Bitoch, and trust, Ubachol and Yonab Avedis Hashem, Ben Om Lechaveiro, between you and another Jew, Ben Om Lemokam, between you and Hashem, Shivachol Inin Vinin Bifnei Atzma, Nechshav Kalyochid, Letzadik Hador, Beshlichas Shalom. That he says, the Rebbe says here, you should know that in that area, the Baruch Shalom has great hopes. You are a Tzadik, you were meant to be a Tzadik in that area. You have the ability to become a Tzadik in that. To the limit that Hashem gave you with your kaiches. And you're only measured by your kaiches and by your shlichus. You're not measured by somebody else's shlichus. And one of Rabbi Nachman's stories, and his stories are very profound. And one of Rabbi Nachman Breslov's stories, so there was a certain tailor who was extremely talented, but he was poor. He never was matzliach to get many customers, and the customers who came to him were always people who couldn't pay. There was another tailor in town who was not anywhere as talented as the first fellow, but he was an oisher, he had tremendous atzlacha. So people used to come to the poor tailor and they would say, "Why is that? What's the matter? How come you're such a good tailor, you're so much better than the other fellow, and he's making a fortune and you seem to be doomed to poverty?" So the answer of the poor tailor was, "What's the question that you're asking me? This is Yenim's maisa, this is my maisa. What are you asking me a kasha from his maisa to my maisa? That's his maisa. His maisa in the world is, that's his business. Everybody's a maisa. You know, you think it's just Megillas Esther? Each and every one of us, the Sfasema says that when Mashiach comes, he's going to give each and every one of us a Megillah. Yeah, a Megillah with each, what's going to, not just Megillas Esther and Rus. Each one of us has a Megillah, and that Megillah is going to be all the Sipurim and all the maisias that you and I had to go through to become Avdei Hashem in our lives. So the Baruch Shalom gave each person bifnei atzmo that you could become a tzaddik in that inyan in your shlichus with the kelim that he gave you. That's Yanim's ma'aseh. How come the other person has it easier? How come it comes to that person? You know, you stand next to someone, you see someone's able to daven and they're crying and they're shuckling and you think, I barely can remember that I'm standing in front of the Baruch Shalom. This person's screaming and crying. most of the times they usually also have the same machshavas, that they're also jealous of somebody else and they're trying. But that's not your esek, that's not your business. You have the koyach with your kelim to become a tzaddik. Mishlicha shaloi. K'maisha kosev meharebi, k'maisha muva meharebi milu blin, v'rab tzaddik, v'ayit tzaddikim s'chusya genelim. And only you can fulfill that shlichus, your tafkid. Zeu chelik echad. That's one chelik of your life. Fulfilling your shlichus. That's all under the general title of what? Lilmoid. Learning. Learning to accept your shlichus and to carry out to the best of your abilities. Hachelik shel ha'is'alus v'ha'isofa v'achizik b'avadosa im atzmo, between you and yourself, other Jews and the Baruch Shalom, Bein Levein Koina, Be'evin Shal Moisef Ha'olach, Kol Yimei Chayev, to become greater and greater throughout your entire life. Achelik Hasheini Hu, and the second Chelik of our Avodah in this world, Ma'asha Hashem is Baruch Noisen L'Kol Neshom and Neshom in Yisrael, Koiches V'Yifanim, that Hashem has given each and every Neshama, Koiches, the abilities, V'Yifanim and conditions, Shebehem Hu Yochel Hashpia Al Yehudim Achayim, that you can influence other Jews. You can inspire other Jews. He's not just talking about people who are, nowadays they have this new profession, it's called Kira professionals. I always hated that, and I always refused to be referred to as a Kira professional. He's not talking about Kira professionals, that each and every one of us was given a second tafkid in this world, which is to be mashpia on other Jews, to influence other Jews. Yesh mi shashem esberach noisen leyev shoros lashpia babayis. Some people were given the responsibility to be mashpia in the house. In the house. V'yesh emish Hashem Yisbarach nicely have shows lashpia al bonav, to have an influence upon his children, al benayisev, the sons, the daughters, and the chadav, grandchildren, talmidav, al chaveirav, al kol mishi yesh leyev shows the sayeloi v'asiyas v'tzayin Hashem Yisbarach, and whomever he comes into contact with, to help that person carry out the Ratzon Hashem. Lefi matzava, according to his conditions, the keichos of his keichos, the absharius and the absharius that come to him, Hashem is baruch sholach bi'ayfen protim yuchad avur nishmasa, that the Baruch Shalom has sent uniquely, specifically bavur nishmasa for your specific neshama, for you to carry out specifically. And there are Jews who live their entire life looking for those opportunities, looking for those opportunities. How can I be mashpia on someone else? How could I inspire? How could I influence another Jew? And it doesn't have to be, and very often people think that this means that I have to be some expert in Torah, I have to be a Talmud Chacham, I have to be completely versed in Tanakh and all the Rishonim and Achronim in order to be mashpia. That's not true, and that's what we're going to learn. The tafkid that each and every one of us has to be mashpia, for that too we were given the kelim that we need to be mashpia. We were given the kelim that we need to be mashpia. And he's going to explain this. B'chol inyan b'avodas Hashem Yisbarach, Ratzayin Hashem Yisbarach, Shekol echad yetomid b'matzav shel hoylech. Hashem wants that each and every one of us should be in a situation of hoylech. Hoylech means we should be moving forward. We shouldn't stagnate. We shouldn't become bored and tired. Many of us in our davening, in our avodas Hashem, haven't changed much since the time that we were 9, 10, 11 years old. Adrabba, I often think that I was doing much better back then. And we're stuck in a certain place, and it's very difficult for us to move forward. The Baruch Shalom wants each and every one of us to be a hoylech, to be constantly, each day, a little bit better. Something to be moving forward in our lives. We don't even know what kind of koyach we have. We have such unbelievable koyach. That we're able to, if we're able to, we're chayiv to, we're obligated to. Loimar, to say, Mosa yegiu ma'yisei l'ma'yisei avayisei. When will my actions reach, when will my maisim reach the level of the maisim of my ancestors? And the tzaddikim, the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov explained, it doesn't mean when will I be as great as my ancestors, because all of us are thinking that's not even shayach. How could I be as great as my ancestors? But it says, Mosa Yagiyu, when will they reach? And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his students taught that it meant, when will it reach the edge of the actions of my ancestors? It doesn't mean that I'm going to reach the Madrega, perhaps, of my ancestors, but when will I at least aspire to? When will I touch the edge, the bottom of their coat, of their robe? V'nichlo b'zeh mashakosuf al ha'ovis ha'kadoshim shirotzu lefonek esusim v'bitzei ha'mayim. Chazal described the ovis, Avim Yitzchak Yaakov, and the imahos, Sar Rivka, Rochel, and Leah, like people who were running before me through the swamps, like horses rushing out to war. In other words, that's a description of our ancestors. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean that we could end up in the same place that Avraham Avinu was sorry Meinu ended up. We're not holding by that. But the Baruch Shalom's love for us is to the extent that we make that effort to rush through the swamps and to push through the schmutz and the dirt of this world and to be holchem, to be pushing weiter further and further to progress, to move forward in Avodas Hashem. Kloimer, Shah Yutomid B'matzav Shemaisif Aherlech Basiyas V'tzayin Hashem Isbarach. When Chazal described the Ovis as being like horses that are running through the swamps, what they meant to say was that they were constantly aiding their Avodas Hashem. Very often, you and I think over the years that we can't do that anymore. We're just not able to. When we think back, I remember when I used to be in yeshiva, when I was in seminary, then I was really somebody that wanted more and I was moving ahead, but I can't now. You know, life is different and in the present situation with my family and so on, and worries about parnas and taking care. Each person on his or her own level during that time of his or her own life has to be a hoylech to move forward. The Ovis, the Imos, never stayed one day in the same place. Did you ever hear the tzaddik that was called the Yid HaKadosh? Any of you ever hear the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew from Pshischa, the Yid, the Heilige Yid, the Jew from Pshischa? There are a lot of legends about why he was called the Jew. That's not a bad thing to be called, right? The Heilige Yid, the Holy Jew from Pshischa. And one of the explanations that was given was that each and every day, the Yehudi HaKadosh, that tzaddik from Pshischa, the Yehudi, each and every day, when he would start that day, he would feel that, ach, today I mamish became a Jew. Today was my first day being a Jew. And with that excitement and that enthusiasm to carry it out, to start, in the diary of the tzaddik after whom our shul in Woodmere is named, the Piazetzna, the Eish Kaidish, in his diary, there's a heartbreaking and very inspiring entry that is found on his 40th birthday. You know, he was eventually murdered by the Germans, Yimach Shemam. But on his 40th birthday, the Piazetzna, the tzaddik, wrote in that diary, he says, today I've reached my 40th year. And by us, you know, the birthday is not it's not so much of a celebration. It's a time for din v'cheshbon, to make a cheshbon and efforts. The Rebbeinu Shlom has me in the world already this and this amount of years. What have I accomplished and what do I need to accomplish? So the tzaddik wrote, the Piazetzna wrote, it's already, I'm here 40 years. And I'm thinking, he wrote this in his diary. He says, what should I do? What should I accept upon myself? To learn more Torah? He said, Baruch Hashem, there isn't a minute. He wrote this in his diary. There isn't a minute that I'm wasting. Can you imagine? He said, Baruch Hashem, I'm not wasting any time. He said, to be more careful with mitzvahs and to stay away from aveiros. He says, Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlom knows that I'm not nichshel in any aveiros. He wrote this to himself. It wasn't writing for other people. It was found afterwards. He says, Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. So then, therefore, what do I need to do? What should I accept upon myself? He says, Roitze ani lehizgayer. What does that mean? I want to convert to be a Jew. Roitze ani liyos Yehudi. I must start to be a Jew. So you ask yourself, what's he talking about? He just said, I don't waste any time from learning. I don't do any aveiros. I'm constantly doing mitzvahs. And then he says afterwards, and you can see that pause, and he says, I want to be a Jew. And he says, Rabbi Shalom, help me not to waste the remaining years of my life. Help me that every moment of my life I should be growing, I should be changing. Help me come into your inner chamber. That's what he wrote. So that insight into the heart of a very, very remarkable person means that in his eyes, yes, he's learning. Yes, he's keeping mitzvahs. But today is not the same as yesterday. Today I have a shlichus. Today, ani hayoy miladeticha. It says about Mashiach, David HaMelech said, ani hayoy miladeticha. Today I gave birth to you. That means that Mashiach is such a person that each day of his life he feels that today is mamish, my first day being a Jew in this world. Not to become old, not to become stuck, not to stagnate, but to be moisef ha'alech. At the bottom of the page, they were constantly struggling to become greater. That means in that area of our own personal improvement that goes under the category, the title of what? Lilmaid, of learning myself and becoming greater. And also to become greater in which area each day? In the second tafkid of life, the second component of my shlichus is what? To be a lulamed, to be a Jew that influences, that teaches others. To illuminate the lives of other Jews. And now the tzaddik says like this. Look on page. No? Oh, I thought the first three mamarim, I thought you told me. Okay, so I'll read and we'll have a mitzvah by next week. So listen, I'm going to explain anyway, mostly, that's outside anyway, so listen carefully. The tzaddik says that in many ways, where is the Yetzirah greater? The Yetzirah, he says, is greater in the second domain of my Avodas Hashem, which means what? In that area of being mashpia and giving and influencing other Jews. That's what he says. Krich darayin over there even more. It's misgaber. Shlo yargish ha'odem es goydel ritzoni yisbarach mimenu shia moysef ha'herlech b'chilek hazer. Many Jews, I would say most people that I meet, they're of the opinion that halavai, kulei hai, if only I should be a good Jew myself, halavai. And maybe I should be able to save my children, my husband, that we should try to be good Jews. That I should be somebody that could be mashpia on other people, that I could be hashpah. I've met so many people that have told me, you know, I have met many, many mothers and fathers that have told me that they're always worried that the Baruch Shem should help them, that they shouldn't be a bad hashpah on their children. So I said, what about being a good hashpah? Why don't you daven that you should be able to be mashpia? To be mashpia more and more. Many, many people think that they don't have the ability, they don't have the kaiches to bring more elokus, as I was talking about last week, to be more godliness, to be mashpia, to be makarv, to be mashpia and yidden. You know, many people think that the main hashpah on other Jew comes from giving a lecture, from giving a shmuz. Those who really understand what this is all about, the second area of life, which is called olam eid, knows that the greatest way to be mashpia on a person is what? With chamimus, with warmth, with a piece of kugel, with a smile, with his scarvis, with the yedidus. A lot of times people think that the main reason this person is coming to me is that I should be able to come up with a good Eitzah. Not about Eitzah. Who am I? I don't know. And you don't realize that it's not necessarily that you have to come up with some brilliant Eitzah. The person needs someone that will listen. The person needs a shoulder to cry upon. The person needs someone that cares. The person needs someone that can cry together with you. But for you to be someone that could be mashpia, that could influence, that could help, you don't realize. Even at a place of work, the person's at a place of work. I was just, somebody gave me, you know, there are certain bootleg tapes of Reb Shlomo Kalibach. You know, there are a lot of tapes going around. So, of course, officially we're not supposed to acknowledge that he was a wonderful person, but we all know that he was, and that even though there's some odd things about him, you know, there was something very special about him. So, I said, one of my students gave me a tape. It's not in the stores. One of these, like, tapes, and it was like a some Lava Malka someplace, and somebody took out a tape recorder. And there was a maisa there that touched me in such a deep way. I shared it with a chevra in shul. Listen to what happened. Reb Shlomo was on an airplane, and he was always going someplace. See, he was going to Ireland. I guess he was going to sing, to do something. So he was going to Ireland, and Reb Shlomo says in the tape, so, you know, what do you do? After you're allowed to take off your seatbelt, what's the first thing Reb Shlomo does? He says, I have to go look to see, maybe there's a Jew on this airplane. Does he find a Jew? So he says he's walking up and down the aisles. How could you tell? How could you find the Jew? He said right away, he went a little bit and he saw that there's somebody who took out his papers and he had it on one seat. And he had different snacks and fruits and things on a different seat. And he said to this person, he says, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yid. And the man said, Aleichem Shalom, how do you know that I was Jewish? And the man's not with a head covering. How do you know I was Jewish? He says, so Shalom said, come. You know, it's obvious, and he could tell. He could tell when it's one of ours, right? So Reb Shlomo says, could I sit down? Okay. So he says, sure. So they're talking, and it comes time to order the food, and the fellow ordered non-kosher food, and Reb Shlomo, of course, had his order the kosher food, and Reb Shlomo said, you know, we became already such good friends, you could do me the greatest honor if you would share, you know, if you would share my meal with me, it would be a very big honor. So the man said, I haven't eaten kosher in many, many years. So Reb Shlomo says, you know, we became good friends, it would be nice if we could have a meal together. So Shlomo threw out the non-kosher thing someplace, and they ate together. And then it came time, they were talking, they were eating, and Shlomo, you know, it was getting late, and Shlomo said, you know, now that we ate together, we're mamish good friends, right? So it would be the greatest honor if tomorrow morning, you would do me the greatest honor if you could share with me my tefillin, if we could daven together. And the man said, I tell you, I haven't put on tefillin since my bar mitzvah day. So Shlomo said, you know, it would be a great honor for me. Tomorrow morning, we'll daven, we'll share my tefillin. So Reb Shlomo said, the man said, okay, he agreed. And Reb Shlomo went to sleep. And he said, he hears somebody walking back and forth. He can't fall asleep. And Reb Shlomo looks up and he says, this Yid. He's walking back and forth. And Reb Shlomo asked him, He says, what are you doing? What's the matter? How come you don't sleep? So he says, I have to tell you the truth. I haven't put on tefillin since my bar mitzvah, so I'm so excited, I can't go to sleep. I can't sleep. And Rabbi Shlomo said when he saw this, you know, Mika Amchi Yisrael. So what makes a difference between one person and another? He didn't say anything profound. It's because he was looking for ways to be mashpia. Just to go over to another Jew and to say, can we eat together? Can we talk? That's all. There was nothing there. There was no Kabbalah. There was no Tanya, Nefesh HaChaim. There was no Ramchal. It was just talking to another Jew and being warm to another Jew. It's the Ikka Hashpa in this world. And each and every one of us is a shliach. It's said on the gravestone, on the Matzeva of Rabbi Aaron HaGadol Mekarlin, that the Tzaddikim said that he brought over 800,000 people back to the Rebbein Shalom. We don't understand what that means. How could he have even met in those days? They didn't have internet. They didn't have telephone. What does that mean to be mashpia? So it doesn't mean that he went and he had philosophical discussions with each and every one. And I have found in meeting so many people over the years that most Jews think, maybe I could try to become better myself, but I'm not a Baal Hashpah. I don't want to mess anybody up. I can't be mashpia. It's not true. So look what so I'm reading to you. Listen. If al zet tzarech levakesh tomnev Hashem Yisbroch, you have to always ask him Hashem. That Hashem help me to be stronger in this area. Help me that I should be someone that should be a Baal Hashpah. But not in some sort of a glamorous way. Not that you should have your name in the newspaper that you're speaking at some seminar. That's not what it means. Help me to be a better father. You see, being a father, as I told you last week, when Chazal said, the Gemara says that when you teach another Jew Torah, and it doesn't only mean teaching inside a Sefer, when you help a Jew be a better Jew, then it's as if you gave birth to that person, that's your child. And in the world to come, that person is considered your child, mamish. So you have to daven to the Baruch Hu, make me a good av, make me a good daddy. I should be a good father. Meaning there should be many, I should be zoche to have many children. I should be a better father. You should ask Hashem, Rebbein Shalom, help me to be a better mother. A better mother for my own children, and to be able to be a mother, to be someone who is able to nurture. To nurture and to strengthen, because that's the main koyach of a woman. To be a mother who can nurture and to strengthen other people. And if you're a rabbi, whatever, to become even greater and greater each and every year. And then he says the following. Listen carefully, because this I'm going to explain a little bit more. And we have to remember always. We forget this very often. He says, we have to remember that the Baruch Shalom is constantly giving us new kaiches. The Baruch Shalom is constantly giving us new kaiches. Shalom yishpi'o yisam aleinu ad ata. That he didn't give us until this moment, until this day, something different than something new. A new kaich that I didn't have until now. And therefore, I have to daven to Hashem that I should be able to use the kaiches that he's giving me today, b'shleimus, in the best way possible. That I should be able to use these kaiches in such a way that's the best way possible to grow, not only in terms of my own self-perfection, but in terms of that second area of life that's called the lamed, in terms of how I could influence other people. Let me explain this a little bit more. What he's saying here is that in order for a person to be a mechanech, and I'm not talking about being a teacher in school, although of course this applies to teachers as well. I don't know how many of you are teachers or have been teachers. It certainly applies to teachers as well. But every one of us is called upon to be a mechanech. If you are zeichet to have children, then the ikra, of course, to be mechanech children, to be mechanech friends, to be mechanech family, and so on. this art, or this craft of chinuch, requires of a person, demands of a person, on the most basic level, that he has emunah and bitachon, listen carefully, that he has complete belief and trust that he can be matzliach in this tafkid. The reason that I'm saying this to you and explaining what he's saying is the following. Nowadays, more than ever, parents parents are growing up with a sense of terror and a sense of fear. There's a friend of mine who was running a Shabbaton. At the Shabbaton, I mentioned this to one of the Chevra the other day, that at this Shabbaton, the boy was smoking, and it wasn't just cigarettes, he was smoking some other stuff at the Shabbaton. And the rule was that whoever is Michal Shabbos or takes drugs has to be sent home. And this fellow was able to accomplish both in one shot. He was Michal Shabbos by smoking pot. Right? He did it at the same time. So my friend, who was a wonderful Rebbe, very very talented fellow, so he said to him, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, we said 1,000 times that you're going to have to be sent home. You came here for... So the boy said, Rabbi, you better be careful because I'm a kid at risk. He said, I'm at risk. I've been classified as at risk. So I'm at risk, and if you send me home, that might be the end. You know, can you imagine any one of us telling our parents, if my father would have said, get into your room, I would have said, Daddy, I'm at risk. I mean, think about it. You're at risk, you're right, you're at risk getting a patch, you better get moving, you're at risk. So, nowadays, more than any other time I believe ever, parents are lacking in confidence. Parents, rebellion and parents are lacking in confidence because they're filled with a terror that A, I will not be matzliach in my tafkid, I will not be able to be successful in what I'm doing, I don't have the koiches, and B, I am worried that if I have the confidence and I exercise that confidence, that God forbid I'm going to ruin this child. So what's happening is very often, because a person does not have emunah shleima. Now I want you to understand. I don't mean that a person is stamma lunatic and is going around, you know, destroying neshamas, but I'm talking about a good father, a good mother. Good Jews, what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about anything fancy. People who, my father always made fun, at least, well, he didn't have to, but at the beginning, he did in the beginning when we had our first child, so, you know, I got a couple of these books about raising children. My father saw one of these on the table, and he gave such a look. He says, what is this? And I afterwards, by the way, I found out from someone on our own block, who's a relative of the woman who wrote the book, that woman... The one who wrote the book was such a brutal, abusive mother that all of her family ran away from her. It was a cousin, a niece of hers, was on our block, it turns out. It's a famous book. I don't want to say the name right now. It was a Jewish prep. It's a famous book. So I had this book, and I was going to learn it. I wanted to get my manual about how to be a good father. And my father said to me, listen, you love your children. You do the best you can. The Baruch Shalom will help you. I was like... You know, you could save a lot of money on the books like that, and going to all the seminars and everything. But Lamaisa, that's really the truth, and that's how it was done. It's much harder than before, and I certainly don't mean to simplify. It's an oversimplification, but the yesod is the same yesod. It obviously isn't a simplification. The children are more complicated, and the temptations are much greater now. But the basic concept that I want to share with you, and that I want to strengthen within you through what we're learning now, is that a person has to have emunah b'Hashem to know that what? That the Rebbeinu Shlom sent that neshama to you. Your kid wasn't supposed to be in somebody else's house. You think, if that friend of mine would be raising my child, it would be so good for my child. I feel so bad you're stuck with me. You know, it's achmanis. No, that the Rebbeinu Shlom sent that child, and that child was sent, that neshama was sent, the neshama was sent davka to you, and that you have to have emunah that bevados 1,000%. That the Baruch Shalom gave you the seichel, the mind, the intellect, and the heart, to be able to be matzliach in that, with that specific neshama that was sent to you. But when the mechanech himself does not believe that he has the ability to influence the child, very often we don't believe that we have, what's happening is that the rebbeim are relying upon the parents, and the parents are relying upon the rebbeim. And everybody figures, somebody save my child, because you don't think that you have the koiches, it's not true. If that neshama was sent into that Rebbe's class, it means that Rebbe could help that child. And if that neshama was sent into your home, it means that you have the koiches to help that child. And what happens very often is that since you don't believe that you have the koiches to be such a mechanech, you don't feel like, could you imagine if somebody were a general in the army, if somebody were a general was in charge of a certain division in the army, and he didn't have the emunah, he didn't believe that his division, that his soldiers have the koiches to get from point A to point B. He's doomed to begin with. There's no shilut he's not going to be able to. He won't be able to get 10 feet in the war. If he doesn't believe that he has the koiches to be victorious, you know how many parents nowadays, from the time that the child starts to talk, when they're very, very little, everybody's fine. It's just difficult. But, you know, I could do this I could do. I could give a birth. I could change the diaper. But once they start to talk, and then when they start to talk back, so then you think, I don't have a bunch of them. I'm afraid I won't be able to be matzliach. And we lose our confidence. We become filled with fear, with terror. And you know something? As a result of that, the children who are so sensitive, children are able to sense when their parents don't believe in them. Children are able to sense when their parents don't believe in themselves. Children pick up on that right away when parents lack in confidence, when parents do not have a clear vision of what they want, husband and wife together, to have a clear vision of what they want of that child. You know, Chazal say, you know, there are six orders of the Mishnah, and one of the orders of the Mishnah is Zroim. Right, Israel, that begins with Masechta Brachos, and mostly it contains the Masechtas that deals with the halachas of Eretz Israel, with the halachas of Trumas and Maisvis and Shemitah and so on. That Seder, that section, 1/6 of Shas, that's called Seder Zroim. And Chazal attached each one of the six Starim of Shas to a certain word in a pasuk, and the word in this pasuk that's connected to Seder Zroim is Emunah, faith. Why is that? What's the connection between that section of Torah and believing and faith? So the Gemara says, Chazal say, Shemamin b'chai oylomim v'zoireya. That means that there's nobody who has as great belief as a farmer. Why? Because a farmer, what all a farmer can do is he does what he's able to do. The farmer plants. He does what he can do. And the rest is up to the Chai Olam, to the master of the world who gives life to all worlds. That's why the Kohen from Lublin and the Ishbitz has said, it's interesting, isn't it true that when it's rainy outside we get sleepy? Yeah? You ever feel that? I mean, I feel sleepy now all the time, but especially when it's rainy, yeah? When it's rainy, or even when it just gets cloudy out, you begin to get sleepy. When it's mamish raining, you just want to close the blinds and you just want to climb into bed, right? You're tired. Why is that? So the Ishbitz and the Kohen, they said one thing beautiful. They said, because you always think when it's sunny out, you think, ach, the world is up to me. I have to go out and conquer the world. And that you have, and you, therefore, you think, I have to run. I have to accomplish. It's me. But when it becomes rainy out, you realize, Lamaise, the Rebbeinu Shlom fears the veld. Nothing in the world will grow unless the Rebbeinu Shlom sends rain. So at that time, when it rains, the tendency of a person is to withdraw from human activity. To sit back and say, Rebbeinu Shlom, it's your world. Hatayv benecha asay. Do what's best in your eyes. And you become... You withdraw, and the way to withdraw from this world is by becoming sleepy. You take a nap, because you realize it's not you. So the farmer is a big mammon. There's no one that has as much faith as a farmer, because he's Zereya. He's mammon b'chai olam. He believes in the one who gives life to all worlds. Whether it's going to grow, all I can do is plant. What am I going to do? I plant. Same thing with children. What can I do? I do the best. I try my best. And I'll try to nourish and to nurture and so on. But that it comes out the right way, the Seif Maisa, that's the Baruch Shalom's business. His mom and Mechai Lom Vezereya. That's what therefore Chazal say, that section that deals with the earth, with the laws of growing things in Eretz Yisrael, that section is called Emunas Itecha, Emunah, because mom and Mechai Lom Vezereya. Let's understand this on a deeper level. What it means is as follows, and this is how it applies to our children, how it applies to human beings and to ourselves. When a farmer puts something, or any of us tries our luck at planting, when we put a seed into the ground, when you look at that seed with the mabat, with the eyes of a mamin, with the eyes of someone who has faith, and not with the eyes of a kaifer, of a heretic, when you look at that seed with emuna, the emuna that you have is what Rabbi Nachman says in the Kutei Maran, that emuna is the koyach hagoydel v'koyach hatzomeach. Emuna is what gives something the ability to grow. Where do you see that from in Tanakh? You get a prize if you could remember that. Where in Tanakh, except you, Mechla, where in Tanakh do you see such a thing? That Emunah means to give something the ability to grow. It says by Mordechai and Esther, Vahi omein es hadasa hi Esther. The woman also who takes care is an omenes, right? Mordechai is Vahi omein es hadasa, Vayomer, he raised Hadassah, he Esther. She was Esther. Vayomer is Hadassah. Rabbi Nachman explains this is what it means. When a Jew has emunah, then that Jew is constantly growing. Godel v'tzamech. When you believe in another Jew, that makes that Jew grow. When you believe, when the farmer believes in the Ribbono Shel Olam, he puts the seed and he believes that from this little seed can come out a whole beautiful crop. That emunah is the koyach ha-goydel. Rabbi Nachman says, koyach ha-goydel v'koyach ha-tzameach. It gives the ability to grow. When Mordechai v'hi oymen es hadas, you see, he believed in that girl. And because he believed in himself, in the koyaches that Hashem gave him to raise Esther, and he believed that Esther had those koyaches ha-nefesh, but because of that, he was able to draw out the inner latent koyches of tzmicha, of gidl, of growing. When you believe in a child, when you believe in your ability to raise the child, and you believe in the koyches of the child, then that is the koyach ha-gol, the koyach ha-tzameach. You have bitochen in the chayel lomim. You have therefore the ability, you have the ability to carry out the tafkid despite all of the difficulties, because you have that emunah. You have that emunah that it's possible. There was somebody that approached the present Shlomo Rebbe, you should be well, the author of the Nesiva Shalom. There was somebody who, the Nesiva Shalom put out a kuntris on chinuch, a very remarkable kuntris on chinuch, which if I wasn't learning this, we'd be learning that. So I'll share with you some ideas that are found in the kuntris of the chinuch from the present Shlomo Rebbe. In that kuntris, the Rebbe says that he was approached once by a professor of education, a non-religious, secular professor in Eretz Yisrael from the university, who was a big maven in curriculum and in education. And the Rebbe said, he asked me the following question. He said, Rebbe, I don't understand. We, the secular, we have all these new methods, right? And we're developing, we're spending fortunes of money, and we have the greatest minds that are working to develop new methods and new curriculums, right, in education. And I don't understand that by you, you don't have any courses, you don't have any methodology, you're still taking the kids to cheder, right? Aleph, Beis, Bo, Gimel, Dalet, you know, you're still doing the same thing. So how could you possibly expect to be matzliach? So the Shlomo said, this is what the professor asked me. The professor of education asked me, it's a good question. So the Rebbe answered the following, in the most beautiful way. The Rebbe said to him, you have to understand, in the secular world, the safa, the education of chinuch, is that you're talking to the body. You're talking to the guf of the student, which includes his active, rational intellect. You're addressing a physical being among other physical beings. But the Rebbe says, "Avayesh chinuch." I'm reading to you from the Shlomo Rebbe. There's a higher level of chinuch. There's a higher level of chinuch when you're not speaking to the body, to the rational intellect, that's all, of a child or of another Jew. You're addressing the inner point of who that person is. You don't have to be pedagogical geniuses in order to teach that. You have to know this unique lashon, what we call mama lashon. You have to know that lashon. There's a special safa. He's not saying that there shouldn't be curriculum. The Solomon himself favors the adopting certain modern techniques in education. He's not against that. But what he's saying was to this professor was that we're raising children for thousands of years, and we're not experts in curriculum, and we're not masters of education. Now, the teretz is that there's a certain safa, he said. And what is this safa? So listen to how he explained. He said, so I told the professor the following. He says, I told the professor, it says in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, it's from his Zaydis, and his Alta Zaydis, it says in the Sfarim the following. By Yaakov, you know, it says, Vayishtachu sheva pa'amim ad gishtai ad echav. You remember? It says that Yaakov bowed down seven times until he reached Esav. So the Rebbe said, Shagam etzel Esav harasha haysa b'mamokim nukuda pnimis shasham hayu b'b'chines echo shal Yaakov. Even in a rasha like Esav, there's a certain point inside of him, it's covered up by many layers. But even in Esav, there's a part that's called Yaakov's brother. There's something sweet. That's called the brother of Yaakov. There's something good there. Aval sheva klipus ekifus in the kuda hazos. There were seven klipus, seven shells, which means everything in this world. It means everything in this world. It means the television, the internet. It means everything. Seven shells, because seven means this world. So there were seven shells that are surrounding Esav's point of being Yaakov's brother. So why? What does it mean that Yaakov bowed down seven times? Even though we find in one opinion of Chazal that he was blamed for that, but in the other way of learning, which is found in the Zohar Kodesh and the Kisvei Ari, that by bowing down seven times, shall Yaakov hechnia the shover hazayin klipas. That Yaakov, what that means is that there were seven attempts or seven levels of effort that Yaakov made to reach what? The inner point of his brother. However that was. V'higia mamish adechav, and he reached his brother. Hainu l'nekuda sa'ach v'shabai. To that point of brotherhood that was within Esav. U'miyad nichna Esav yichabkei v'nashkei. And Esav, according to the opinion that this was sincere, of course there's another opinion in Chazal that wasn't sincere, but according to the opinion that was sincere, which is accepted by the Zohar Kodesh, that Esav, when he hugged Yaakov, he meant it as a brother. Afterwards, you know, it didn't work out afterwards, but for the moment, Vayichabkeyu Vayneshkeyu was real. He mamish kissed him, he mamish hugged him. The Rebbe says, V'im Eitzel Esav HaRosha Kacha, if this was able to work, what? With Esav HaRosh, who's surrounded with seven klipas, Allah has come of a kama, Esav Yalda v'yelad Yehudi. How much more so by a Jewish girl, a Jewish boy, Ksherim, who are kosher, or holy, Shenishmosim mitachas kisei HaKovod, whose souls come from under the kisei HaKovod. Ashagam is a klipa, a kosher, even the most difficult klipa that's surrounding a child. Even the child that's at the greatest risk. He must believe, the mechanech, the parent, must believe that he could find the derech 7,000 times to be machniyah himself somehow till he's going to come to that point of my little child, of my Yosef HaTzadik, of my Yankel, of my Sarah, my Rivka. That there's the hishtach avayis. And he says, but the t'nai is, the condition that this can work, and this is why the story that I told you before about Rav Shlomo is so touching to me. The t'nai is that you have to believe the emunah shleima, that you have the ability to be matzliach, that you can do it, that you yourself can do it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't seek help with people that are good and to try. Of course you have to. That's also part of your shtadlus, that you have to seek and to talk to others and to help and to bring the child to see someone v'chul if necessary. But you have to believe that you could be matzliach, not to be chalila, not to be misyayish. And even if, God forbid, that there's a child whose heart is closed or whose mind is closed, even if there's a child whose heart seems to be completely closed, certainly there's a chiyuv as much as possible for you to make those hishtachavoyas, to make the effort, and to have the emunah that you could come to that point of what? To that point of brotherhood, that nakuda, that inner point. And that's the biggest klal in Jewish education. And that's what distinguishes, that's what differentiates between our chinuch, and that's what the Rebbe is saying to that professor, and secular education. You see, in the secular world, they don't believe that they're talking to a Yiddish neshama. They don't know that they're talking to a nefesh, a chelek elokam mamish. You know how many times have I seen, I'm sure that you've seen, people that you never in your wildest dreams would have dreamt could come out to be an Eilech Yid, and they turn out to be the most unbelievable people? Because by a Yid doesn't work by the natural ways of this world. He's not meshubit to the teva of this world. A Yid simply is not. Therefore, the aleph of all chinuch is believing in yourself and that Hashem made you a shliach and He gave you the koiches to carry out your shlichus, and B, to believe that if the Rebbeinu Shlom sent me this child, this neshama, this friend, this husband, even this parent, if the Rebbeinu Shlom sent this person to my tchum, I have to believe with all of my heart that what? That I am not meshubad, I am not functioning in my relationship with this person under the normal rules and regulations of education. I am talking to a nefesh, a chelek eloka mimal mamish. I am talking to someone who has within him a portion of a piece of elokus of God Himself. Therefore, you don't know what word you can say that could set the heart of a Jew on fire. Every one of us here, I know that, and my wife and I have spoken about this, I know that there was a certain teacher that said something that changed my life. Most of the teachers that I had, honestly, I have to say the truth, most of them did not inspire me at all. Mostly it was the opposite. I felt like running away. But there were one, two. that said certain words, that made certain comments, and they never would have dreamt that they were saying it. They don't even know. If I would tell them, they think, nah, there's a certain person that I love very much, that he was a Rebbe of mine, that one night he said something to me that mamash turned my life around. And years later I told it to him. He said, well, are you kidding? You know, that was the whole... That was the shlichus, you know. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, you know, sometimes you were sent into this world to say a good word to one Jew. You don't even know. A shlichus. So when you believe with all of your heart that there's something supernatural that's taking place, that when you're dealing with a Jewish child, there's something unusual inside of him. And just like you see with your eyes seven klipas, God forbid, and it seems to you like it's impossible to penetrate to the essence of this child, what's the matter? I'll never get to this child. You have to realize you are not dealing with a normal human being. You're dealing with a Jew. And a Jew is lemalam and hasech, lemalam and hateva. Therefore, you don't have to fear that it's impossible, based upon empirical information, it's impossible for this child. There's a good friend of mine who had a child that every psychologist said, look, I understand there are certain conditions that nebuch, that's a different type of nisayon, that if a person has that child, a special child. But I know there's a friend of mine, talking about Shmuel, that had a child that everybody, including his own family, everyone said that the child, this child will never be normal. And my friend said, I'm sorry, I don't believe it. And he worked yoimim v'layla. I never saw anything in my life. And he brought girls, you know, from the school into the house to be with the child. And he did this and he did that. And Chazdei Hashem, I'm not saying that the child is 100%, but my friend told me as of a month ago that he's around 85-90%, the child. And every single doctor he spoke to said, there's no tachlis, send them away. And he said, I'm not misyayish. Ein shum yayish ba'olam klal. Because if I believe that the Baruch Hashem sent me this child, I have to do the best I can. A. And B. That's my seven ishtachavayis. And B. If I believe with all of my heart that this child is not meshubed to this world. A Jew is not meshubed to this world. Therefore, he could be meshuke, he could be immersed, God forbid, in the darkest place. He could be stuck in the worst place. And there is still the possibility that something unusual can change, that something can happen. Again, I'm not talking about, God forbid, there are certain physical chronic ailments, Hashem Yirachim. But I'm talking about especially about those children who people are misyayish. He's already left, he's already finished, he's already done with Yiddishkeit, he's never going to come back. It's not true. And children can sense, and I fear this myself, children can sense when parents are misyayish. They can feel that. They can sense when parents don't believe in them. And we learn from Mordechai, Vahi Oimenes Hadassah, how is he able to raise Hadassah? Because he believed in her. He, Esther. Where does the name Esther come from? Haster Asti, which means hidden. He was able to bring out the... He believed in Hadassah. Because why? Because he believed that there was a fragrant Hadassah sitting before him. He, Esther. And he knew that she was hidden. He knew that she had within her hidden kaiches. There was something deeper, there's something there that was hidden within her that he believed in with all of his heart. And as we just learned, that when you have emunah, that's Seder Zorim. That's the kaiach ha-megadol, that's the kaiach ha-tzomech. So just to end, what he's saying here is that you have to realize that every single day the Baruch Shalom is sending you new kaiches to carry out the shlichus. And you have to daven to be able to be makabal these kaiches. Hanefloim, Hashem is Baruch Mashpil in Atomic, Kedei Shanuchel His'alis, Elohaisif, Elohaitiv, Avedis HaKadosh Hazeh. That we have the ability each and every day to grow, to strengthen ourselves, and to improve in this Avodas HaKodesh. And never ever to be misyayish, to be mispalel, and to know that today can be better than yesterday. And we're not meshubet whatever happened yesterday, and what's going to be tomorrow, it's an inyan achel lagamrei. But hayoyim, to today, this moment, I could make this new effort with the new kaiches that Hashem has given me. So the Baruch Hashem should help us to realize that, to be able to carry that out in our own lives.